Okay, let's go to the Word. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Luke, the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 15, and we're going to begin to read at verse number 8, as we're going to talk for a little bit tonight about the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost coin. But I want to take that, and I want this to be a jumping off stage. We're going to hit this tonight, and I'm taking this theme of recovery, and then we're going to follow tonight up with three more weeks, and we're going to talk about how to recover some of the things that we have lost as Christians and as a church. And so I think it's going to be a good series, as we're going to talk about recovering the power that has been lost, recovering the direction that has been lost, and recovering the influence that has been lost. And so we're going to look at some principles of recovery tonight, and then we're going to look at a few areas that we need to focus and begin to strive towards recovering. And so that's kind of the line of thought that we're going to be in over the next few weeks. Luke chapter 15, verse number 8, and you can always pick up these Wednesday night lessons if you're interested, if you want to pick them up, if you hear something and you wanted to hear it again or listen to it a little bit deeper. You can go to riverlifechurch.com on the media page. You can click on the walk, and that'll take you to my blog. GregGarvey.com is the name of the blog. You can go there, and the Wednesday night audio lessons are on there. And you can just click on those and listen to those. You can listen to them there. They're also in iTunes. You can look them up in iTunes as well. And I know there's a couple people that'll pull them off and listen to them sometimes as they drive. And so if you're interested, you can always go there if you miss something, so you can pick it up. All right, Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Jesus is teaching. He's talking about he's going to bring out some parables now. Luke goes into this time of Jesus' teaching in parables. And Luke chapter 15, there are three parables that kind of cover somewhat the same ideas. And he talks about the parable of the lost sheep. You'll remember that parable where the 99 were safe, but one was lost. So what does the shepherd do? He leaves the 99 and he goes and he searches for the one. So one in 100. The good shepherd is not satisfied with 99 out of 100. He wants 100. And so one out of 100 is too many, too much for him to lose. Then the parable we're going to look at tonight is the parable of the lost coin. And we're going to talk about that. The woman has 10 coins, and she loses one of them. She has 9, so what does she do? And the idea behind that is 1 out of 10 is too much to give up. 1 out of 100 is too much. 1 out of 10. And then he goes into the parable of the lost son, that there were 2 sons, and one remained and one left, and then later would come back. But the father would never give up, because 1 out of 2 is far too many. And so the idea behind this is we need to recover what is lost. We need to not be satisfied with any amount that is lost. Okay, there's more teaching, of course, in there in those three parables. But that's an aspect that I want to pull out of that. Forget the percentages. Quit being satisfied with losing anything that the Lord has given to you. Don't be satisfied. Don't say, well, you know, it's all right. I've got 99% of the things the Lord wants. Don't be satisfied with that. Go after everything that God has for you. Don't be satisfied with the 10. Don't be satisfied with 50%. Make sure that you go after everything that God has for you. Don't leave anything behind. Why would we leave behind anything that God has given to us or promised us? So as a church, we need to understand that. As the church, we need to understand that. And so as we kick off this series on recovery, and we look at the concept of I found it, we're going to recover it, and we come to this understanding, we need to get unsettled first with what we have lost. As long as we are satisfied with what we have lost, we will never strive for everything God has. As long as we're willing to give up some things, we will never have everything God has promised us. I want you to remember that. I want your mind to dwell on that a little bit. If you ever become satisfied with what you've lost, you'll never have everything God wants for you. We settle. We settle so often. And so tonight, I want to maybe pique our interest a little bit, give us a spark in our lives a little bit that we can recover, and then we will talk about in the next few weeks things that we need to recover. In Luke chapter 4, if you want to go there with me, you can. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it's a very familiar passage. Jesus is beginning his ministry now. He goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they were reading out of the book of Isaiah, and Jesus stands up and begins to read. Verse number 18 of Luke chapter 4, he's reading in Isaiah where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I want you to understand that. Jesus said he came for something. He came to set at liberty. He came to renew. He came to heal. He came to the oppressed. He came to the broken. But he also came for recovery. He says recovery of sight to the blind. Now that's we know that Jesus healed the blind, literally. But we also know the gospel opens our eyes, and an understanding of Christ opens our eyes spiritually. So the Lord came for you to have recovery. He wants you to recover your sight, recover your vision, recover your passion, recover the things that you have lost. He wants you to have everything he's brought to you, and he doesn't want you to settle for anything less. He brings good news to the destitute, healing to the broken, deliverance to those that are in bondage, sight to those that are blind, and liberation to those that have been bruised and battered. We need to come back and receive everything the Lord has for us. We've sat back too long and been satisfied for too long with losing what's been promised. Now, when you talk about losing what's been promised, my mind goes to David. 1 Samuel chapter 30 is where you can find the story. They've been out raiding. David and his men have been out doing what they were doing during that time, and they begin to come home. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, the whole chapter is the story. As they top over the hill, they look down, and there they see their home, their hometown, their home city, Ziklag. And the Bible says that they began to see smoke rising, and as they topped the hill and looked down, they found Ziklag was in ruins. It was burned, and there was nobody there. Their families that they had left behind, their wives, their children, their families that they had left behind were gone. There was no sign of life. The city had been destroyed, had been overrun. An enemy had come in and had taken the people and taken everything out of the city. And so David and his men come in. They are in despair. They are despondent. The Bible says they talked of stoning David and killing David because he had led them out on this raid and left their family vulnerable to the enemy. And the Bible says that David went in before the Lord and he began to encourage himself in the Lord and in the Spirit. He began to lift himself up and he began to pray and he began to ask God, and God said, "Go after them, for you will recover all." My mind, when I think of recovery, that's the story that my mind goes to. that story of Ziklag, where God says to David, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, but go in your strength, for you will recover all. How many know that brought encouragement to David? What I've come to tell you tonight, and what I want to encourage you a little bit with tonight, is you can recover everything that the Lord has for you. You don't have to leave anything behind. You don't have to leave any promise, any blessing behind. You can find it again, and you can recover. David and the Amalekites, as they had taken away his family, so he begins to pursue them. Go in the power of God and recover all. It is your heritage to overcome. Amen. How many understand that? It is your heritage to be an overcomer and to regain what the enemy has tried to take from you. Christ came so that you could have freedom and so that you and I can have recovery. Okay, too many of us, instead of being like David and the men that would pursue with Ziklag and pursue the Amalekites, too many of us have become like Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of King Saul, or a grandson of King Saul. He was one of the only remaining heirs of King Saul when David would become king. And David would look for someone to bless because of his promise to Jonathan. And they said, the only one left is Mephibosheth, but he's lame. When word had come that King Saul had died, he was dropped as a boy. He became lame. He had lived in a place called Lodabar. And he was in this place, and he was in a dark place and a dreary place. And David brings him to the king's house, and Mephibosheth doesn't feel worthy. He doesn't feel like he belongs. He doesn't feel like that the king could really do good for him. Too many of us are like Mephibosheth rather than like David. And David brings him in, puts him at the king's table, feeds him with the best food, restores to him his land. What I'm trying to tell you is this: quit settling for anything less than everything God has promised you. If you settle, you'll never have everything God wants for you. If you settle for less. If you're willing to stay limited. Okay. Why would we settle for some when we can have it all? Amen. Why would you do that? If everything's offered to you, why would you settle for some? If you settle for losing some parts of God's plan in your life, you'll never have all of God's plan. Let's just break this down a little bit. It could be health, dominion, faith, provision, power, anointing, families, peace, ministry, joy. We're going to talk about power, and we're going to talk about direction, and we're going to talk about influence. It could be anything. Quit settling for anything less. Time to find these and take them back. Notice in the story, if you want to turn there, you can, or I'll just tell you the story. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, the story of David and his men going after the Amalekites. When they are pursuing them, a man comes from them, a slave that had gotten away, and he came and told them where they were. He led them to the Amalekites' campground. He led them there, and as they're looking down into the camp of the Amalekites, they see their families alive, the things God promised is true, and they begin to get ready to go recover. So we need to be like David. We need to begin to look and spot the things that have been lost so that then we can go and take it back. So that's what we're trying to do. Okay, so Luke chapter 15 and verse number 8. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So God rejoices when one is found. Heaven rejoices when one is found. When one sheep out of 100 is restored. When one treasure out of 10 is restored. When one son out of 2 is brought back home, there is rejoicing in heaven. So what I want to tell you is this. God is waiting to rejoice over our lives when we begin to reclaim the things that we have lost. But there is something that we need to do. So the first thing I want to look at is this. Let's look at how she lost this coin. Let's look at that, this parable. What woman having 10 silver coins? I mean, no parables. When Jesus would teach in parables, they would carry within them multiple meanings. They would have the meaning that was the obvious meaning, and Jesus would declare that when he would say, know this, there is rejoicing in heaven when one comes home. So the power of one lost thing, the rejoicing over one lost thing, one lost person, one lost element is the focus here. And so let's understand, first of all, if it was lost, there was a reason why it was lost. There was somehow that it would be lost. I want to say this to you. She lost it in her house. Can I tell you, we have lost too many things in our house. We've given up on too many things in our house, in our own houses, in the house of the Lord, in the family of God, in our own personal lives, in the house. You can lose the promises of God in the house. She lost it in the place where she lived. She was there, she was present, but she still lost. How many of you ever lost something in your house? Right? All the time. Checking the cushions of the couch. You might find it there. Veronica, very rarely does it happen. Usually in our house, I'm the one that loses things. Right? Guys, are y'all with me? And if I say, I can't find that, she'll tell me where it is, and I'll go look for it, and I still can't find it. Anybody with me? And then she'll get up, walk right in there, and it's right there. I think God does that to trick me. I think he blinds my eyes to seeing it, so I'll ask her and she'll walk in there and he just lets her see it and pulls it right out and teaches me a lesson there. But every now and then, Veronica will misplace something. And she'll look and she'll say, I can't find it. And I'll tell her, have you looked here? And she'll say, why would I look there? I wasn't there. And I will tell her, but if you lost it, you may have put it somewhere irrational. So look somewhere you don't. She's so organized, why would she look somewhere that didn't make any sense? Well, when I lose something, the first place I look is places that didn't make any sense, because there's a reason I lost it. And so, you know, if I've lost my drink, I might go look in the closet for it or something, because who knows what I've done, wandered around with it and set it somewhere. But she'll look in all the places that make perfect sense where it would be. Well, if it was where it would make perfect sense, you wouldn't have lost it. So you had to do something a little bit different. And so sometimes we can lose things within our house, things we're comfortable with, things that are important to us, things that are close by us, things that are important we can lose. This woman had 10 coins. She lost one of them, and she lost it in her house. How many things have we lost in the house? How many things has the church settled for losing in the house of the Lord, for letting go, for not experiencing? How many things have you lost in your home, spiritual? I'm talking spiritually now. How many things have we settled for spiritual loss about? Well, it's just not going to happen like that anymore. Or that's just not the focus anymore. And we've settled for losing things. The power of the Spirit is one of those things for many churches, for many believers. We have settled for a gospel and for a walk that is not a spiritual, supernatural walk. And we've done that in the church, in the house. We just go to hear sermons that deal with our lives and make us feel better about our lives. We go about our week. We do everything the same way. We don't give God the opportunity to move. We don't want to acknowledge the moving of the Spirit, because He might mess up the timing of our services. And we got to be done in an hour. Well, what if the Holy Spirit doesn't want to be done in an hour? Are you willing to give up on what he's going to do? Are you willing to lose that in the house? Amen. We're willing, when we settle for less, we'll never have everything God has for us. Amen. And so, how did she lose it? It was in the house. How did she lose it? Maybe she lost it because she was careless with it. Have you ever lost something because you were careless? Right? You hold something out a window in your car. That's not a real smart move because wind might just yank it right out of your hand. Right? I remember I had a flag on my car one time. It was an OU flag, I think, wasn't it? And we'd fly it on game days. And I don't remember if it was me or Veronica, but one of us had that thing flying and we were driving down the road. And for some reason, we decided, I don't remember which one of us it was. We decided we needed to roll down the window to do something. I think it was Veronica. We're driving down the road. I'm going to blame her anyway. It doesn't sound like something I would do. We're driving down the road and the OU flag's flying. And Veronica rolls the window down because she just got to do something. And maybe she got hot. And when she rolled the window down, guess what happened? There went the flag that was singing in the window there, and it was gone, and there was no recapturing it after that. My Sooner pride couldn't fly proudly anymore, I guess. But we were careless with it. Maybe she lost the coin because she was careless. She didn't take care of it. She didn't nurture it. She didn't handle it properly. Amen. We've lost some things that God has for us because we were careless. It just lost its importance to us in a moment. We didn't really invest in it like we should. A lot of people have done this with the Word. Amen. A lot of us have become careless with God's Word. And even though it's in the house, it's not used or read or studied. And you become careless with it. And then you lose its power in your life. Amen. And a lot of people settle for that. Well, I go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, but that's not enough. You can lose things in your house if you're careless. You can lose things spiritually if you're careless with it. Maybe she lost the coin because she was careless. Maybe she lost the coin because she didn't make a special place for it. Not only was she careless, but maybe she didn't have a special place set aside for her coin. How many know when it comes to the promises of God and the things, you need to set them in a special place in your life. You need to keep them in a special position in your home so that they do not lose their value, so that they're not overlooked, so they're not easily lost. You must make room for the promises of God. Amen. If you quit making room for them, if you quit making a place for God to move, do you know why God blessed the woman that had no child, the barren woman, when the prophet Elijah would come by, you know what? God blessed her because she made room for the prophet, and then God made room for her. If we'll make room for the promises of God, the Word of God, the blessings of God, the goodness of God, if we'll make room in our lives for God, we will have the things that He'll bring to us. But if we are careless or if we don't make room for the things of God, we can lose the promises of God. Or maybe she hoarded her coins and she was unwilling to use them. And therefore, after so long of not using them, it got misplaced. It got shoveled aside. Maybe she had split them up somewhere and hoarded them and forgot where she had placed it. See, sometimes we lose the things of God because we're not using them. Amen. How many know sometimes you can in spiritual moments and in times of passion and in times of fire in the spirit of a believer, God uses them in amazing ways. But then that person becomes careless, and then that person becomes worldly minded, and that person quits making room for God, and they'll go for time and time and time and time until eventually those areas of giftedness have not been used, and they seem to have lost them. Amen. Now, the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But how many of you know if you're not using the things God has given you, if you're not using them, it will seem as if you've lost it. I want you to listen to this. Here's the reality. She really had not lost the coin. It just wasn't where she could see it. Okay? So you need to understand that. So if we don't use the things God's brought to us, if you don't use the blessings of God, if you don't take the promises of God and use them to reach out and use them to bless God and apply them in your life and allow God to work through you, you can lose those things. I hear people say things like, well, you know, I used to just really have a heart for God, and I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I used to do... Why aren't you still doing things? If you don't use what God has given you, you will lose what God has given to you. Amen. So maybe one of those reasons, maybe she was careless, maybe she didn't make room for it, the right place, the proper position for it. Maybe she didn't use it, so therefore she forgot it. Many times we are the same way. And the promises of God that we are not living in are not gone, they're just misplaced. The promises of God that you're not currently living in, they're not gone, they're just misplaced. So what does she do? See, maybe that's the reason she lost it. So maybe that's the reason we've lost some things. But what do we need to do to recover what we have lost? What did she do? Let me give you a couple things. And I'm really wanting you to hear this, get your mind thinking this way, to set up the next 3 weeks as we talk about taking some things back. What did she do? Well, the first thing she does, the Bible says, what woman having 10 silver coins, verse 8, if she loses one, does not light a lamp. The first thing that she does, she's lost the coin. So the first thing she does is she lit a candle. She applied the light to her situation. For us, it wouldn't be lighting a candle. For us, if we've lost something in our house, we would turn on the light. Have you ever misplaced something in the middle of the night? Do you just stumble around in the dark, feeling around, and hope you find it? You might if the other one is asleep and you don't want to wake them up. But usually, you're going to turn the light on so that you can find what it is you lost. So what does she do? She realizes, I've lost a coin. I don't know how she realized it. She just realized it. She must have looked for it for a reason. She realized something was wrong. She realized something was missing. She didn't just say, well, I've got 9 of them. Right? I've got 9 others. It's okay. No. She said, I'm going to recover that. It's got to be here somewhere. Amen. And I'm going to turn the light on. The first thing she does is she turns the light on. She applies the light to what is hers. If we want to recover everything, we've got to apply the light. The first thing that is light is Jesus is the light of the world. If we're going to begin to recover, we need to get the light. Jesus spoke in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How many know the word is a light unto our pathway? It's right? The word is light. And so what does she do? The very first thing she does is she said, I got to turn the light on. I've got to discover. I've got to be able to see clearly. You need to get the word on what is yours. If you're going to recover spiritually what you have lost, you've got to get the light on. You've got to get the word open. You've got to get Christ focused in your life so that you can understand where to look, where to find it, and you can see more clearly what's happened. So, she lit a candle. Do you know God's word says every promise of God is ours? I didn't say that. God's word said that. And when you hear that and you believe that, then you have the opportunity now to reclaim it. It's God's word. Get the light of the word. By turning the light on, we're able to see what's around us, and we're able to see where the problem is. If you're going to recover things you've lost that God has promised you, you've got to get the light on your life so that you can see what's around you, what's in the way. You can see what's happened. You have a clearer vision now, and you can see what the problem is. Maybe the problem in her house was when she turned the light on, there was clutter everywhere. How many know if there's clutter everywhere, it's easy to lose things? If you are a pile person, you know what a pile person is? That's a person that everywhere you look, there's a pile. And they might know exactly what's in the pile or think they do. But there's a pile here, a pile there, a pile over there. What I've discovered about a pile person is this, is that even though they think they know what's in the pile, when it comes time to find it, they have to hunt through all the piles in order to find it. I thought it was right here. I thought it was in this pile. I thought it was in this stack. I thought it was over here. There was so much clutter. Right? Did I lose y'all on that? You got to get the light on so you can see what the problem is. We need to get the light. We need to get Christ shining the light into our life and the Word of God shining upon in our churches, in our lives, in our homes, in every setting that we are in, so that we can see what the problem is around us. So we can see what we're doing more clearly. Light chases away darkness. Darkness hides things from you. Noah had been over the other night, and Veronica had given him a bath in our bathtub in our bedroom. That's where she gives him a bath when he's there. And he's got this little bucket of toys that he wants Gigi to give him a bath. And he's got to take all these toys, and they play with the toys in the bath. Well, he had been over, and Gigi had put the toys in the bucket, but she had not put the bucket back where it normally goes, and it stayed right there by the bathtub. And in the middle of the night, Papa got up and went into the restroom and didn't know the bucket was in there. And guess what happened? You know, there's stuff going everywhere. And Veronica says, "Are you all right?" Yeah, I hit the bucket and I'm going in there, right? And if the light was on, you could see. But when the darkness is there, it hides the problem. Christians have allowed the darkness to stay in their life, and they have allowed it to hide the problem to show them where the promises could have been lost. If you don't get the light on, you may never find and recover what God has promised you. So get the word, get the light of Jesus Christ into your life, because light chases away darkness, and light makes things manifest. It shows where things are. Okay, next thing she does, she lights a lamp and she sweeps the house. Amen. Maybe this is where people came up with thinking in the Bible it says cleanliness is next to godliness. Y'all do know that is not in the Bible. I know moms, I know that's hard. That's hard because you've quoted that for years, but you were quoting a false Bible when you quoted that. It does not say that in the Bible. The concepts could be there. You could argue that. This woman, sweep. If you never sweep, there are things you'll never find. Amen. Come on now. Have you ever moved something that has sat in the same place for ages? I know we don't want to admit that, do we? We never have done that, but I've known people that have. Something sets in the same position for ages in our house, and you can't get under it, and there's no reason to move it. If you ever do move it, you'll be amazed the things you find under there. Right? And if you're a clean freak, you'll be mortified about the things that you found. And you may have to move out of your house after you find some of the things that you found under there. Things will collect. And if you never sweep, if you never clean, there are things you'll never find. Amen. I'm want you to think spiritually now. I'm trying to bring the analogy, but I want you to think spiritually. You got to get the light. If you're going to recover, turn the light on. Get the word. Let the relationship with Christ burn brightly so that the light can come on. And then you've got to begin to sweep the house. Once the light's on and you can see the truth and the problem, then begin to do something about the problem. Amen. If you're looking for something and you see some, you're going to have to sweep something out or pick something up or clear something out to see if it's behind there, see if it's under there, see if you can find it. This woman turns the light on and she sweeps the house. She starts cleaning up. To sweep is to clean out the garbage that the blessing, the coin, could hide under. How many know we need to begin to pray for a real good cleaning again? We need some spring cleaning in our house. We need some evaluation. We need some sweeping out of some things don't need to be in your life. You need to clean them out because they hide the blessings of God. Amen. There are things that need to be, there's garbage that needs to be taken out. If you don't take the garbage out, bad things happen. That we need to clean. We need to pray God cleanse us. Stirs. We used to talk about those things. Amen. We need a good, I grew up preaching, preachers used words. I've used words like purge us again. Amen. I bet you can go to most churches today and probably never hear that word ever again. Purge. Why would we have to purge something out? We need to get rid of some things. Clean out some things. There's some junk that gathers in our life that we need to sweep out. The three Hebrew children, they were thrown in the fire. The Bible says they bound them, threw them in the fire. The fire, you know what the fire did? It didn't burn them, but it burned off their limitations. Because when the king looked in, he said, didn't we throw three into the fire bound? And they said, yes, king. And he said, well, I see four, and they're loose. And the fourth one, it looks like the Son of God. All the fire did was it cleansed them of their limitations. Amen. That's how gold is purified. That's how precious metals are purified. It's in the fire. Sometimes we need the fire of the cleansing work of the Spirit in order to get the junk out of our lives so we can recover the blessings. If you never put yourself, that's why fasting is important. Fasting is a cleansing. Amen? Don't fast because you're trying to lose weight. You know what's going to happen? You're going to lose a little weight. You're going to be all excited to eat that first meal, and then all of it comes right back. Fasting is a cleansing. It's a time of evaluation, of cleansing, of preparing. That's why we need some concepts of self-discipline. So they're cleansing agents. Amen. I know we don't like to talk about that, but sometimes you need to get out the broom, and you need to sweep some things out of your life. Let the Spirit of God clean you up. Remember, it's not lost. You just can't see it right now. There's too many things cluttering it up. So get out the broom. She turned on the light, and then she swept the house. Now look what she did. And she searched carefully until she had found it. She searched diligently. She turned on the light. She cleaned out the house. She swept it out, and she began to seek diligently. She got serious. I almost take that as she got on her hands and knees. She's looking under things everywhere. She's serious. That's become her purpose, and her focus is recovering what she lost. She got down on her hands and knees and said, I'm not going to stop until I find it. She would get caught up in what she was looking for. When's the last time we got so caught up in recovering what had been lost and pursuing after all the promises of God. And the Word tells us that we've got so caught up in that that we just forgot about everything else. She got serious. She got caught up. There were no hindrances now. There was nothing she wouldn't touch, nothing she would not move. The church needs to get serious again. How do we do that? We do that through prayer. Through worship. We get focused on the things that are missing, and we get more focused on those things than we are anything else. Get your eyes focused on what you're after, not the circumstances it's hiding under. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek after Him. This woman is searching. She's serious. She must have it back. When you get serious, your eyes will open, your vision will tune in, and you'll see things that you've missed before. And she found it. She turned the light on. She swept out the corners and things that could hide behind, move stuff around. And then she was diligently seeking. I've moved it. It's got to be here somewhere. It became her. And guess what? When she did those things, she found it. What was lost was found. And what does she do? Then she, when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, and she says, "Rejoice with me, for I've found what I've lost." When she finds it, she shares the good news with others. When you're seeking diligently and it, you remember, hold on, I know where it is. It's like the light goes off. I know where that is. And you go directly to wherever that is, and you're on a mission to find it. And when you look there and you find it, you've accomplished it. If you got someone in the house with you, you're going to tell them, "I found it. It was right here." Yeah, you're going to share the good news. I've found it. It's worked. I've got it back. She shared that with others. She's ready to tell others. Come on, church. I want to pique your interest a little bit, and then we're going to jump more into certain things that we're going to recover. But while we're in this process, turn the light on. Let the Word shine some light on things in your life that you need to recover. Be willing to do the hard work of turning the light on. Sweep out the house. Get in the corners. Move the clutter. Be diligent about your search. Determine, I'm going to recover those things God has promised me. And when you find it, share it with others. This needs to become, for the next 3 weeks after tonight, this needs to become our focus if we're going to recover some things that we've lost. I've given you how she might have lost it. I've given you how she went about recovering it. What I haven't given you is what it was worth, because we don't. No, it doesn't tell us how much the coin was worth. We can guess and all that stuff. But all that matters is it was worth everything to her. I can tell you how you lose things. I can tell you what to do to try. But until they become worth finding to you, you'll be satisfied with them missing. Get serious about your search and determine when you find it. When you recover, you're going to share it with others. How many believe the church seems like we've settled for a lack of power? The power of the Spirit, the way we read in the Word of God. Oh, we've settled in our lives for a lack of influence. Oh, we've settled too often for a lack of direction. Let's discover what God wants us to have, and let's go about reclaiming it. Amen? Stand to your feet with me.